Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.
I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Banner civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Infinity Sports Network here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street, welcome on in to what is a Tuesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all the great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 375, the free Odyssey app, and always on the iHeartRadio app as well. 888-710-4ISN is the number to jump on in. That is 888-710-4476. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexin', or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. We'll do a little college football fix coming up at the top of the hour. Former college football analyst, did a good job the last few years on ESPN. Before that was at Florida and Mississippi State as their head honcho. Now is back in the game on the sidelines at UNLV. Dan Mullen is going to join us coming up in an hour from now. All righty, let's start the show with another day of SEC Media Day. So today, Georgia, Auburn, Texas, and Tennessee have already spoken or are speaking currently right now. I'll tell you, from a national standpoint, Georgia and Texas are two of the top three teams in the SEC. Georgia and Texas are two national championship contenders. But with how much we have talked about Georgia and how much we have talked about Texas with Arch Manning, I'm actually a little bit more intrigued with Auburn and Tennessee today. So let's start with Auburn. Their head football coach is Hugh Freeze. I never loved the Hugh Freeze hire. I thought it was fine, but I thought they could have done better. And a big thing, if you follow Hugh Freeze's past, is his social media. So this was a big thing at the time when Hugh Freeze got hired. They didn't trust him to tweet, but they trusted him to coach the football team. And I remember when I was in my previous time slot of 6 to 10 p.m. Eastern time, right here on the Infinity Sports Network, which at the time was called CBS Sports Radio, I got in a big debate with Ryan Hot Take Hickey. And to no surprise, Hickey thought it was a slam dunk hire of Hugh Freeze. And I said, well, I can't get there, even though he has done some good things in college football, Hugh Freeze, on the field. If you can't trust a coach to tweet, how could I trust him to lead my football team? So I look at Hugh Freeze right now. The first 2 years of him being back in the SEC on an Auburn sideline have been extremely underwhelming. He's been a disappointment, and through 2 years, he's been a failure. He has compiled a record of 11-14. In year one, 6-7. In year two, 5-7. Now, heading into this season, you look at the recruiting rankings. They were eighth in the transfer portal. They were also eighth for the 2025 class. And that's for the nation, not just the SEC. But then I look until next year, and upon next year, just in the SEC for recruiting for 2026, they are currently dead last in the SEC. And this whole article came out, right, how Hugh Freeze is golfing a ton. Now, I golf a lot. I also take days off to golf, or I'll do it on my free time. When you're a head football coach, you don't have a lot of free time, especially when you're a head football coach at college. Now, am I slamming Hugh Freeze for golfing? No. Let me be abundantly clear. But when that's the storyline right now entering into the season, and it's how much golf are you playing, coach, and the story isn't about your new quarterback or isn't about your new-looked offense or all the players that you brought in this offseason, and Auburn really hasn't generated much excitement heading into this year, that's when it becomes a problem. Because that's going to be the low-hanging fruit. And remember, you have a fan base that said goodbye to Gus Malzahn. And when they got rid of Gus Malzahn, I didn't love the move by Auburn. They end up bringing in Brian Harsin, and he was a disaster because, quite frankly, he wasn't a fit. So you go from Gus Malzahn, who was the definition of good. He wasn't great, but he was consistent. He was good. From time to time, you would actually win an Iron Bowl. And you ended up that turning into the dysfunction of Brian Harsin. And then it turned into Hugh Freeze, who has been a huge disappointment so far. Once again, 11-14 in two seasons, 6-7 in year one, 5-7 a season ago. So heading into the season, and I just went through the Auburn schedule, even with the changes, even with the improved recruiting ranking for the 2025 class, even though it's not up to par and it's well in a bad spot right now for 2026. And you got the coach golfing here and there as if he's Scottie Scheffler. You know, Scottie Scheffler and actually Hugh Freeze could have a lot in common. They both like to golf. And Scottie, I guess, doesn't make golf really a priority anymore, even though he's so great. But he doesn't get a thrill out of winning major tournaments from that quote. And I guess Hugh Freeze, he doesn't get a thrill really out of coaching football much anymore with and recruiting with how much he's golfing. So I looked at, anyway, the Auburn schedule. They start off the season with a tough game at Baylor, but it's not a game that they can't win. Then they have two cupcakes in Ball State and South Alabama. And then they have a really tough stretch. They're at Oklahoma. They're at A&M. They play Georgia. They play Missouri. And then they wrap up the season with that Arkansas, Kentucky, at Vanderbilt, Mercer, and Alabama. So they'll beat Ball State, they'll beat South Alabama, and they'll beat Mercer. Those are three wins right there. But up against the rest of their schedule, Baylor, Oklahoma, A&M, Georgia, Missouri, Arkansas, Kentucky, Vanderbilt, and Alabama, can you find a way to get enough wins for this to look like a successful season? And what would be a successful season for Auburn? I guess it would be 8 wins. And if you ask me right now, Zach, do you think Auburn is going to get to 8 wins or over under 7.5? I would say no. I think at best the Auburn Tigers this year are a 7-win football team. That's at best. That's at their apex. 7 wins. I think this team is stuck in this kind of area right now where you've seen with Hugh Freeze, they're a 5 or 6 win football team. I think they're anywhere in that range of a 5 to 7 win football team this season. So if that's the case, you got a coach right now who's compiled an 11-14 record, is making all these headlines about his golf game. And you look at the future of Hugh Freeze. Now, his buyout is a little ambiguous. From the way that I read it, and I couldn't get an exact number, I had to actually do some math here, so trust my math. He gets $6.5 million a year on the surface over 6 years. And from now on, if you were to get rid of him, it's 75% remaining of the contract. So if he gets through 3 seasons, and then you take 75% remaining of whatever is left on that deal, which is $19.5 million, that would be around $6 million that he would still be owed. Now, that's not a big number, especially when you have a very energetic and a big-time fan base in the Auburn Tigers. giving Hugh Freeze after this season about $15 million, roughly $15 million to go away, is not that much. So I know now it's always tricky because if you get rid of a coach, you lose a lot of the players on the team because of how easy it is and how open it is to go into the transfer portal. And yes, the recruiting has improved this year. Transfer portal, they're eighth in the nation. Recruiting for the 2025 class, they were eighth in the nation. But next year, Samter was telling me before the show, when you really go through this golf article and this whole golf story, that they're dead last in the SEC in recruiting right now for the 2026 class. So if Hugh Freeze, even if he does at best 7 wins, which is what I don't think they're going to get 8 wins or more. Over under 7.5, I'm taking the under, and I think they'll get anywhere from 5 to 7. But even if they get the high end of that at 7, you see a coach that's already 11-14, even if you tack on 7 more wins to that and 6 more losses, does that really make me say, oh, gee, golly, Hugh Freeze needs to come back? No. I would start to look for what a football coach should look like in the year of what would be 2026. And I was on an island with this, and we'll learn a lot about Coach Prime this year when he doesn't have Travis Hunter, when he doesn't have Shedeur Sanders. I said 2-3 years ago when they were hiring Hugh Freeze, why not hire Coach Prime instead? Why not take the gamble on Coach Prime instead? So Auburn, they called their shot getting rid of Gus Malzahn a few years ago. And I know Gus Malzahn ended up becoming the head football coach at UCF, and now he's the offensive coordinator. He left that job to be the offensive coordinator at Florida State. But you got rid of Gus Malzahn, who was not great, but Gus Malzahn was a good football coach. He was a solid football coach. You look back at his time at Auburn, he was 68-35. And they had 1-2 double-digit win seasons. He was 9-3, 12-2, 8-5, 7-6, 8-5, 10-4, 8-5, 9-4, 6-4. So from getting rid of Hugh Freeze or getting rid of Gus Malzahn at Auburn, and you look back at when they got rid of him after the 2020 season, they haven't got at all better. And that was at the low point of the Gus Malzahn tenure at Auburn when he was 6-5. And that was in 2020. Brian Harsin came in, went 6-7. Then he was fired after 3-5. Cadillac Williams did go 2-2 to compile a 5-7 record. And then Hugh Freeze, 6-7 and 5-7. So I'm just not excited for this Auburn football season. Now, when we look at Tennessee, I like their head football coach a lot. I am a fan of Josh Heupel. Do I think Josh Heupel is an elite coach? No. But I think Josh Heupel is a very, very good coach. And you look at UCF, he was taking over a good situation after the success that Scott Frost had there. And they were 12-1, they were 10-3, and then the final season, 6-4. Then he bolts to Tennessee, and they go 7-6, 11-2, 9-4, 10-3, just made the college football playoff a year ago. And it's weird to say that I'm still wondering the real value of Josh Heupel, because I just told you he's a good coach. But this year, you're going to really find out how good of a head coach Josh Heupel is. Because you look at what they lost from a year ago. Nico Iamaleava no longer there. Their star running back, Dylan Sampson, off to the NFL. And also, they have 4 new starting offensive linemen. That's a lot to lose. I know this sport is now synonymous with change. And I know this sport is now synonymous with chaos as well. And there's more turnover now than ever in college football with the roster from year to year. But to lose your quarterback, whatever you think about him, your stud running back, and now you have 4 new starting offensive linemen, that's a lot to lose. So I really do think when you look at these 4 teams talking today, we already discussed Hugh Freeze, and I think this is going to be it for him at Auburn. But then you look at Tennessee, there is a lot for Josh Heupel to prove this year. Even though he's been extremely successful so far at Tennessee, this is the year that you really define what Josh Heupel is because there's a lot working against him. Now, the other 2 programs are going to be 2 of the more talked about programs in the country. And quite frankly, I'm not saying they're the best. They're in the running. But Texas is going to be the most talked about program in the country this year because of Arch Manning. And it's set up where the last 2 years you had Quinn Ewers there, and I think Quinn Ewers was underappreciated at Texas, but Quinn Ewers made the college football playoff, won the Big 12 in that final season in the Big 12, and then their first year in the SEC, they were in the SEC championship game, and they ended up getting to the final four of the college football playoff before they lost to Ohio State, and we went through the whole boneheaded decision by Sark in that game, yada, yada, yada. We don't need to rehash that again. But now here comes the chosen one. Here comes the savior of Texas football, where for a while we were joking, will Texas ever be back? Texas is back now. Texas has had sustained success the last 2 years with Steve Sarkisian. And this is now set up where the baton has been handed from Quinn Ewers to Arch, and you may even get 2 years out of Arch Manning as a starting quarterback. Now the expectations are sky high. And we have set the expectations so high on Arch where I wonder if he can meet them. Because if he's not a Heisman Trophy finalist this year, then how does he spin this into a successful season? Like, if you're not a Heisman Trophy finalist and Texas just gets back to the Final Four of the college football playoff, is that a successful season? I look at it, if you would have said that 10 years ago about Texas, absolutely. But the last 2 years making the college football playoff, and I've vacillated on this from time to time, but now I'm ready to make a stance on this. You almost have to be in the national championship bare minimum, or Arch has to win the Heisman Trophy. One of those two things have to happen this year for people to really look at Texas and be, hey, it's successful. If Arch is just a finalist for the Heisman Trophy, and then let's just say Texas doesn't make it back to the Final Four, or even if at bare minimum, Heisman Trophy, and then he is in the Final Four, I'm not going to sit there and say that's totally unsuccessful, but then he better be coming back next year. But if that's just a 1 year of Arch starting at Texas where it's like, okay, you're a finalist for the Heisman, you made the Final Four of the college football playoff, I'm not going to be sitting there and jumping for joy about the Arch Manning era at Texas. So that's how high the bar is set. Where if he's in the Final Four, or just if he's a Heisman Trophy finalist, it may not be that successful. He's either going to win the Heisman Trophy this year or be in the national championship game and really take that next step at Texas. And then finally got Georgia. I think Georgia is the most trusted team in the SEC. And even though I don't think they're the best team in all of college football this year, I would still say they are the most trusted team in college football. Because like the last 2 years, sure, Georgia has not been able to continue the Alabama way. Georgia was saying they're going to be the next Alabama. They haven't won a national championship the last 2 years. Now, last year, Georgia looked vulnerable. They still made it to the SEC title game, and they won the SEC. And then they ran into a team that was extremely hot and trending in the right direction in Notre Dame, and the quarterback got hurt. But I can't wait to see this year if Kirby Smart's going to go win another national championship and what you're going to get out of Gunnar Stockton. Because you take a glance back at Georgia. Carson Beck was supposed to be all that, and he wasn't. And Stetson Bennett, who had a remarkable career at Georgia, didn't really get the national praise that he should have. Like, Stetson Bennett, to me, kind of felt like a lot of the Alabama quarterbacks of the past before you got the Tuas, the Jalen Hurtses, the Mac Jones, right, the Bryce Young. It felt like it was a product of the system. But Stetson Bennett obviously has proven he's been more than that. And Carson Beck, when all the eyes were on him, he didn't meet the hype last year. Now the baton is passed to Gunnar Stockton, and the standard still remains the same, at least for me, for Georgia. It's national championship or bust. And you may not need to be great this year to win the national championship. Like, you look at Ohio State last year. Ohio State had a heck of a roster. The most talented roster in the country. That was a team that got beat by Michigan at the end of the season. And yes, they destroyed Tennessee. They made arguably their biggest statement of the season. That's when I thought, like, okay, they're probably going to win the national championship when they blew out Oregon. And you look at that, you know, there was a close game up against Texas, and then they were dominating Notre Dame before Notre Dame came back and made it a game. But then when push came to shove, you had your quarterback, Will Howard, find Jeremiah Smith right down the right sideline, and that was game, set, match. So you may not have to be, like, compared to previous national champions, was Georgia from start to finish the greatest team that I've ever seen? Or, excuse me, Ohio State the greatest team that I've ever seen? No. But you don't need to be the greatest team from start to finish anymore with the landing spot now of a 12-team college football playoff. You could lose late in the season. That, even though we thought it could have derailed the Ohio State season, it didn't. So for Georgia, they're very good. And now in college football, you may only need to be very good to win a national championship. So those are the four teams that have already spoken or continuing to speak today: Georgia, Auburn, Texas, and Tennessee. And that's how I view them heading into this season. We'll take a timeout. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Those are the numbers to jump on into the extravaganza today. And when we do return, Nick Saban could be returning to college, could be returning to the NFL, or he continue to just sit on the desk at the ESPN for College Game Day. If he does return, Stu Samter and I will give you each a pro and college football team where Nick Saban could be coaching next year. We'll take a timeout. Coming on back, off and running on a very busy Tuesday. This is The Zach Gelb Show.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Dan Mullen going to join us coming up 35 minutes from now. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I got a package in the mail today from a listener. And it was from Psych Mamter on Twitter, who wrote, "Bring back the YouTube stream from Psych Mamter." And we are efforting to get the YouTube stream back. They got the new equipment, folks. And somehow the new equipment doesn't work. So I'm hoping by the start of football season, we'll be back on YouTube. That's my standard. It should be sooner than that. But I think I'm being realistic here. But if it was just a note from Psych Mamter, bring the YouTube stream back, that wouldn't really be significant enough to talk about it on the air. Psych Mamter also sent me a bottle of ranch, which I thought was very funny because, as you know, a big character concern for me and a big character flaw for me are people that put ranch on their wings. I think you should put blue cheese. And we were having a wonderful conversation with Haynes King, by the way, last week. And we were talking to the Georgia Tech quarterback. And then I just said to him, because this is what I sometimes do in interviews, "Hey, Haynes, you know, if you are having a cheat day, if you're off the diet and you're pigging out, what would you like?" And he said fried chicken. I go, "Oh, you like chicken wings?" And he goes, "Absolutely." I go, "Ranch or blue cheese?" And he goes, "I'm a ranch guy." Now, there were a lot of comments there. One was ranch all day. "There you go, Haynes King. Ranch all the way." Then there were some others that said, "I love Haynes King, but he needs to man up and switch to blue cheese. Ranch is for boys. Blue cheese is for men." You know what? Brian Hartzell on YouTube, and we're not streaming on YouTube. This is a video that was posted to YouTube afterwards. I may make a t-shirt. Ranches for boys, blue cheeses for men. A message that is approved by Zach Gelb. And that's why our overnight host, Pat Boyle, is a little boy. Because I got a tweet from Pat Boyle during the break where all I did was the legendary Moist Mike ISN, which also is the man that goes by Psych Manter, just sent me this in the mail to our Infinity Sports Network studios. A reminder that ranch should never go on wings. And then that mouthy chatterbox overnight radio host and Pat Boyle said, "Ooh, I'm Zach, I'm the gatekeeper, and what belongs on wings? Take a hike." Where I responded to Pat Boyle, and I said, "Hey, rookie, you be quiet unless spoken to, or we are throwing you in the cold tub like your Prince of Mukamara." So Pat Boyle, zip it. We don't want to hear your blasphemous takes about ranch being better than blue cheese. Because let me tell you something. Because when Pete the Body Bilotti pulls this and inevitably plays it on the overnight tonight, if Pat is working, Pete will agree with me on this. Santer likes ranch. So therefore, I'm going to assume that Pete the Body Bilotti now is the biggest fan of blue cheese. So Pete, if you want to take a stance that ranch is better than blue cheese and agree with your bloviating overnight talk show host and the great Pat Boyle, throw the great in there, then you're standing with Samter. So do you want to stand with Samter or do you want to stand with Zach Gelb? That is the question.
It's going to be interesting whether his hate of me outweighs his love for his current host.
I think I know how Pete's going to answer that one. Now, I used to get I've gotten some great packages from listeners through the years. Like some really nice things. Nothing I think will top. Ooh, the Ashton Jeanty hoodie that I got with the Heisman from Jake was awesome. But there was a guy, Jameson in Milwaukee, who he used to send me the most delicious food pictures on social media. And I found out that he runs a cookie business. So this was 4 or 5 years ago. He sent me gourmet cookies in the mail. And listener food, no offense, folks, I usually don't eat it when it's homemade because you never know what you could put in there and try to kill me and all that stuff. And you don't know the cleanliness of the home. But this is a professional business. Those cookies, if he was trying to poison me, if he was trying to kill me, it would have been a perfect way to go. They were great. And then there was this guy. Oh, he was a former radio host on WFNZ in Charlotte. Oh, I forget his name. A very nice guy. He used to call the show and he didn't tell us he was a former host. And it was a bit then on WFNZ about this guy. He was now like making bricks and he was repaving his entire driveway. And he sent us a massive, like Zach Gelb show paver. That's what he sent in the mail. This thing, Matt Weller, who is our officer, he was not happy when this was sent because it was so freaking heavy and they had to move it into the room. And this thing must have weighed 75 pounds or something like that. And he sent it in the mail. And his name's escaping me on who sent that to me. So there we go. We got a bottle of ranch from Psych Manter in the mail, and he wants us back on YouTube very soon. Marco, you're a chicken wing guy, I would assume, right?
I do like chicken wings, yes.
Ranch or blue cheese on the chicken
Neither.
Wings? Neither?
Neither.
You just say hot sauce all the way?
I can't do hot sauce, so no.
Oh, that's why. Like a dry
I'm more, yeah, either the dry rub barbecue. Or a barbecue. More of the barbecue, but yeah, my stomach can't handle the hot.
And oh, really?
Yeah, so, and even that stuff I just don't like.
I'm actually very surprised, because when I think Macho Man, I think of Marco Belletti. Well, I think you'd be a big hot sauce guy.
You say that, but I can't digest water, so this has got nothing to do with yeah. whether I want to or not. I know.
You know what, I will say, the last year and a half, 2 years, the Bellettis have been very sick from time to time.
Well, you know what? That's different. This has been an ongoing, this has been a lifetime issue that I've gone through.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Let's go to Mike in Abilene, Texas. Next up on the Zach Gelb Show. Mike, what's happening? College football is almost here. Mike? And then we say goodbye to Mike in Abilene, Texas. Anyway, Nick Saban, we were talking about this yesterday. Nick Saban, there was this report from Greg McElroy, which was all about, all right, yeah, so he talked to someone in the know, even though McElroy said he didn't believe it and he still thinks Saban's going to stay retired, that they wouldn't rule out a return for Nick Saban back to coaching football. Now, I said this yesterday. I think if Nick Saban is returning, it would be for the NFL, it wouldn't be in college. He just left a year ago. He's been out for a year now. It's going to be 2 years. And you look at that, he left because of the fact that he didn't want to deal with the NIL. He didn't want to deal with the transfer portal. So do I think right there that 2 years later, because it'd be after the season, all of a sudden, that Nick Saban's going to be running on back to the college game? I do not. So let's go around the room here real quickly. Let's do one pro job, one college job that Nick Saban could be taking for next year. Now, I'll start with you, Stu. Just give me one, whichever one that you have a stronger preference for, and then we'll circle back on the one that you didn't take. So give me a job for Nick Saban if he – I don't believe he's coming back, but if he were, pro or college, what's your first one?
Give me the Dallas Cowboys. Give me Schottenheimer getting canned after year one and Saban going to Dallas. Jerry Jones wants Nick Saban.
Samter, was your mic on there?
No, it wasn't, but
no,
it should have been.
He was loud enough where...
Oh, it was? I just heard a damn.
That was my first pick.
Damn it. All right. Samter, what's your next pick? You go college or you could go the NFL?
I don't care. No, you know what? Since Stu took my first pick in the NFL, I'm going to go to college. Oh, man. Let's go. He's not a California guy. So I'm going to go let's go Auburn.
Auburn.
Let's go Auburn. He went from LSU to Bama. Now he's going to take on Auburn because Hugh Freeze is playing too much golf.
Now, here's the thing. Him going to Auburn with the legacy that he's built at Alabama, that would just be weird to me. And I get it. At one point, he won a national championship at LSU. Then he left to go to the Dolphins. And then he came on back. And then he became the greatest college coach of all time at Alabama. For Nick Saban, it's not worth it, in my opinion, to come on back and go try to save Auburn football. That's just me.
It would be so much fun, though.
It would be. I'm not saying I'm against in terms of seeing him coach again, but if I'm him, I wouldn't come on back to coach college football for Auburn. Mine's going to be funky here. I'm going to go NFL first. I'm going to say the place where he was an NFL head coach, and that's the Miami Dolphins. Mike McDaniel's going to be gone after this year. Chris Greer should follow him out the door as well. He should have been gone years ago. You could kind of hand the keys over to Nick Saban to run your football organization. Now, if I'm him, I would just coach and then find the GM that you could get along with. I wouldn't try to do both. But I could see the Dolphins also, you have the connection with Tua Tagovailoa and Jalen Waddle as well, being a good landing spot for Nick Saban. All right, we'll go back to Stu. Stu, you have taken the Cowboys, so now you got to give us a college job.
I will go LSU. I think this could be the end for Brian Kelly if the buyout isn't too substantial. And if it is, they would want a big fish. And I think Nick Saban returning to LSU would be that big fish.
All righty. And Samter, who do you got for your pro job?
I was thinking of one team, but when Stu mentioned LSU, I figured why don't we just stay local? He has roots in Louisiana. The Saints, I don't have a lot of faith that they're going to stick with their coach long term. We'll see with
Kellen Moore.
Maybe. But if you have a choice between Nick Saban and Kellen Moore, I'm going to go with the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, the problem with the Saints is they really don't got much. You know, and if I'm him once again, now you'll get like 3 years to build it back up. But that's not a desirable job. Out of all the teams that we've mentioned so far, Cowboys, LSU, Auburn, Saints, and the Dolphins, I think the Saints would be the least desirable, if I'm just being honest.
He knows the area.
My final one. Yeah, but does that matter for the NFL?
I mean, I think for Nick Saban, he doesn't seem like a West Coast guy. That's why USC doesn't really work for me. He doesn't seem like a big city guy. He seems like a New Orleans, Auburn, you know, things like that. Baton Rouge.
Yeah, USC is bizarre in terms of their hiring process. I will say that. And the Lincoln Riley hire just has not worked. I'm going to give you one that I think is just solely based off money. And I think they're going to be solid this year. So this may not be open. But with how much money they spent on their roster, if they do disappoint this year, you're looking at 8-5, 7-6, 8-5. Let's say if they're not really improving that much, they don't live up to the amount of money that they spent. Texas Tech's got a lot of money. Now, that's weird seeing him coach in Texas Tech. It's going to be weird seeing him coach anywhere other than Alabama at this stage. But maybe they make him an offer that he can't refuse, and it's Texas Tech. So Stu goes the Cowboys at LSU. Samter goes Auburn and the Saints, and I go the Dolphins and Texas Tech.
I give you one?
Yeah.
Florida.
Ooh. And really stick it to Urban Meyer, too.
Partly, but I think it's also a prominent school that's been down. He can go there. The expectation is get us back. He doesn't have to work as hard. The recruiting is a lot easier because it's in his yard. He likes being in Florida. He has homes there. I don't think he comes back.
Yeah.
If there's a spot, I don't think it's the NFL. I think it would be a prominent program that needs a rebuild, and I don't think it's a Nebraska. I think it's a Florida.
And also, when you look at, let's just say, Florida, for example, a big reason why Billy Napier is back is you thought you would lose a lot of the players that he recruited with the transfer portal. If you're bringing in Nick Saban, I'm not saying everyone's rushing to stay, but you have a better chance at keeping a good amount of those players.
Yeah. He strikes me as rich in tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Florida is a rich in tradition.
Let me take Anthony in Myrtle Beach. Anthony, go ahead. You have an opinion on ranch and blue cheese.
Listen, the only place Nick Saban's going is to Ken's Steakhouse, and he's going to push the blue cheese on the world. Only place ranch lives is in the trash. I don't trust anybody who eats ranch. Worst invention ever.
So, Anthony, just an inquiring mind here. Our overnight host, I guess, does not like that I love blue cheese on my wings. His name is Pat Boyle. I'm assuming he's a ranch guy. Now you think less of Pat Boyle. Is that correct?
I don't judge nobody. Me, I'm a dry guy. I eat what I get with the blue cheese or the lemon pepper. I'm not a condiment person in any way. I don't even put ketchup on my hamburger. I don't do it. That's just how it was growing up because I didn't have it, so I didn't eat it. Mm. My wife dips everything. If ranch is on a table, I'm leaving. I literally will get up from the table and go somewhere else. It smells like dirty gym socks. I don't want to eat it. I don't trust anybody who eats ranch. I don't even trust people who don't even like cats. I broke up with relationships for less. Ranch is disgusting, the most horrible, putrid invention ever.
You got it. Anthony, thanks so much. That could be my favorite phone call I think we've ever taken.
Ever? Okay.
It's up there. There was this guy, Hippie, who used to call me on the weekend overnights, though. He was pretty good. And then there was this other guy, Mitch in Miami, who used to call me every weekend coming out of the strip club. And I got a text last year from Barrett Salee. And Barrett Salee goes, this guy, Mitch in Miami, just came up to me. And he started talking about how he used to call you coming out of a strip club every weekend overnight. And they sent me a picture together. I'd never seen a photo of Mitch. And I said, who's that? He goes, Mitch in Miami. I go, oh. I go, I know Mitch in Miami. That's the guy you can't forget.
Is he what you expected? Always weird seeing a picture of somebody that you only hear
normal
from
guy.
Or email with or something.
Normal guy.
Okay.
Kind of like how I expected him to look.
Look like a guy who comes out of a strip club every weekend? Okay.
Yeah. No, like, it just looks like he looks like he likes to have fun. That's the way that I would say it. All righty, let's get the latest update with the man that's all about fun. I don't know about the strip clubs, but definitely fun, and not about the sauces from what sources tell me. Here is El Capitan, Mark. The Defensive Player of the Week is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. You know, we really need actual football back, by the way, because Samter and Stu keep on writing these, and they keep on giving me these soccer players.
It's basically over until next season starts.
So this week's player is Chelsea goalkeeper Robert Sanchez. In Sunday's 3-0 Club World Cup final victory over PSG, the Spaniard saved all six shots that came his way in four matches during the knockout stage of the tournament. Sanchez only conceded two goals. Who the heck talks like that? You soccer snobs, when you do the writing for this, if we were talking football, you never, like actual football, you would never say, oh, they conceded four touchdowns, or, oh, it was 3-0. There's like just a snob arrogance from you soccer folks. What was the term that you used last week, Samter, when it was a shutout?
Clean sheet.
A clean sheet?
Sheet. S-H-E-E-T.
I know
sheet.
What you said.
Sheet.
A clean sheet. Like my cleaning lady came over yesterday. She changed my sheets. Now they're clean sheets.
Clean sheet.
That's the same as, 4-0 in soccer? Am I saying that correctly?
Sure. And then you don't call it a field, it's a pitch?
Who gives a crap? 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Oh, my God. Clean sheet. A pitch. Conceded two goals.
It's called a cap when a...
A what?
A cap, like
C-A-P. Like no cap?
Like Kaplan, like cap.
Yeah.
That's when a guy gets an appearance for their national team. So if he's played like 10 games for the United States, it's
like
10 caps.
Like a feather in his cap?
Yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
888-710-4ISN. The two of you. The two soccer guys here, Samter and Stu. Jeez. Clean sheets. Mike in Abilene, Texas, next up on the show. Let's talk about real sports, Mike. What do you got for me? Can I... Samter, let me ask you a question. I'm going to leave him up here. So he called in. He wasn't there. What did he say to you when he called back in?
There might be something wrong with the line or something, because as soon as I picked up, he's like, I don't know what's going on. I was talking and you guys couldn't hear me.
Oh.
Maybe there's something
you
wrong with our phones.
You think he muted himself?
Maybe. Mike, you there?
Hello, Mike. Mike, do you have clean sheets?
Hey, Mike, if the Michigan Wolverines are the best team in football, don't say anything.
I haven't heard anything from
him. All right, I guess he's a Michigan fan. All right, let's go.
If Mike in Abilene, Texas, despises Ryan Day, just scream a little bit. That means he loves him, right?
I guess so.
Yeah, okay. All right, let's try one more time here. Mike in Abilene.
Can you hear me?
Oh, Mike in Abilene, Texas, we got you.
Jeez, okay.
Michigan's
after
biggest
this,
fan,
I'll be
Mike in Abilene, Texas. Mike, say something funny.
Here at present. Listen, guys, AT&T is going to get a nice phone call after this one. You don't interrupt or constrict my ability to talk to Zach Gelb. That's where we start this off. So you should be a fly on the wall for that conversation. AT&T is about to get an earful. I might just switch over to T-Mobile for that. Now, I'm not going to bash Samter. Because, you know, to each his own. I am going to echo your point. Can we talk about some real sports now, boys? Are we done with the fiddle faddle and the riffraff and the appetizers and the little slimy fried pickles that aren't even good? Like, come on. Now, on the ranch thing, there is only one type of ranch I've ever tasted that's even kind of good, and I'm not really a sauce guy anyways. The wings have sauce on them. What you want sauce on top of your sauce? That's a recipe for a real bad boo-boo, gentlemen, in the middle of a business meeting. That's what the recipe for that is.
Yeah, oh, but there's just something, but Mike, there's just something to me. And I love wings all throughout the year, but there's just something special in the summertime. Being outside, you have a cold beer, you get a big tray of wings, and you dunk those suckers into some blue cheese. I don't know why. It's one of my favorite things in the world in the summer.
Well, I will say, if I am going to use something, my go-tos are the traditional buffalo. So buffalo and blue cheese is a staple.
Mm.
I've had it with ranch. It's not. I'm in Texas. You guys know how they deal with ranch down here. We got rivers made of ranch.
You said some crazy things as Ohio State fan. This is, I think, the most normal phone call you've ever had, because you have recommended wings with blue cheese.
I do have some normalcies about me. It's also we've got some time before season officially enters, so you know I'm enjoying it right now. Ryan Day, anymore.
Well, that's progress, because you didn't love CJ Stroud, you didn't love Ryan Day, and now Ryan Day is a national champion. But we're sitting here on July 15th. Your schedule is Texas, Grambling, Ohio, Washington, Minnesota, Illinois, Wisconsin, Penn State, Purdue, UCLA, Rutgers, and then Big Brother Michigan. Dun, 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 dun. How many wins this year for your Buckeyes in the regular season?
Well, we got to get past the first one, first and foremost. You guys are right, man. Texas let some people go into the draft, but they brought some people back. They brought some dogs back on the defensive side. You know, I think it's going to be interesting, because both of our trench folks, the offenses and the defensive lines for both of our teams, we took a hit. You know, a couple of our O linemen are in the NFL. A couple of our D linemen are in the NFL. A couple of their O linemen. So this is what you live for. Marquee programs, big name programs. Week one. I am so tired of being in the Big Ten, Zach. I want to play Texas and then Bama and then LSU. And like, we need stronger schedules. We're fortunate because our recruiting is what saves us in some of these matchups, as evidenced by last year. That's how we should have played all year. That was, you know, the main focus around, like, hey, Ryan, that's great. Thanks for the natty. This is what we were supposed to do. In fact, when we got all these transfers, the whole country was mad about it and knew this is what we were supposed to do. So anyways, I digress.
Well, Mike, I got to let you run because I'm up against it and it's a hard out. But you do have a fair point on the schedule. With that being said, I would like to see the Big Ten moving forward and the SEC at least play once each, another every time, like a year for each school. But you look at the Texas or the Ohio State schedule, there's four games that I must watch this year. Texas, Penn State, Michigan, and also Illinois, I think is a good game too. Those are the four games that I watch Ohio State this year. Those are four I really need to tune in for. We'll take a timeout, come on back after these short messages.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter X.com/AI.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.